disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Think about that. Big crowd of people. Hold your finger there. Big crowd of people. All these people sitting around here. There's Jesus. And the disciples come in and said, Who's the greatest? They got some of this, they got some of that camp meeting Baptist mentality there. To where one of them thought, well, I'm a little bit better than they are. And, you know, I'm a little better. You can see it in preachers and singers and everything, where they just sort of think they're hot stuff. You know, when they walk in like this. You know, you just see it. So full of pride, look like some kind of peacock walking in. And they come in, they said, Lord, who's the greatest? I want to ask you that question tonight. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? Fanny Crosby? D.L. Moody? I ain't talking about Jesus. Of course, well, he's the one that made it. I'm not talking about as far as humans concerned. Whitfield, David Brainerd, one of the martyrs. Who's greatest, Lord? Moses? Abraham? I always liked David. Who's the greatest? And the Lord did this. He called a little child. The Pope was in the back of the line. Heebie-jeebies, beads, the whole mess. Wasn't even recognized. He called a little child. Some people believe the Lord can't call a child. Oh, them little kids don't know what they're doing. He called a little child. Not just a kid, a little, not just a child, a little child. And set him in the nursery so he wouldn't bother everybody. Wait a minute. And set him way back in the junior church so the great, wonderful spiritual adults could all pat each other on the back and study the deeper truths and the lower lows and the higher heights and the greater greats. Set him in the midst of them. Right smack in the middle. And said, you see that little kid? You want to be great? You be like that. That's what he said. I get so tired of people saying, oh, those little kids go to the altar. I wouldn't let those little kids go. I tell you what I wouldn't do. I wouldn't stop one of them going to the altar. The Lord called that kid. If you got a kid that wants to go to the altar and pray, I believe I wouldn't mess with him if I was you. I'm going to tell you something, people. The Lord don't look at things the way people look at them. You find that true in almost everything. People look at it one way, God looks at it. And be careful that you don't find yourself looking at stuff like the world and religion looks at it. The Lord, they said, well, those little kids, they don't understand. When they get older, they maybe understand. You know, the Lord never said, all right, you kids, you got to come to me like an adult. He turned right around and said, you adults, you got to come like a kid. That's what he said. I didn't write it. My job's to preach it to you. That is exactly what I'm fixing to do. A little child, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not even enter in the kingdom of heaven. Wherefore, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, said it again, the same is great as the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall receive such one little child, said it again, receiveth me. You want to receive the Lord? Be good to a kid. Where's Marty at, Kelly? Send her up here a minute. I want to get her to help me here just a second. You know what the Lord said? He said, if you receive a little child. Now, here's Marty. I'm going to stand you up here on this thing right here, okay? Marty and her brother, Ethan, raise your hand, Ethan, rode our buses to church for three or four years, and circumstances happened, and up here, I hear another story. Anyway, they wound up living with us, me and my wife, and we have her and her brother, and they live with us over a year now, and she is mean to me. No, she's not. She's good most of the time. Now, you know what the Lord said? There's what the Lord said. He said, you take this little child. You know who's great? We say, oh, there's the great so-and-so. Dr. So-and-so's going to be here. The King James boys. Brother Danny. No. He said, put that little child in the midst. And he said, that's the greatest. And that just gets some of you religious people, don't it? Well, I know. I don't care what you know. It ain't what you know. It's who you know. You know why the Lord wants you to be like a little child? That little child sat right on his lap, which some of you won't do. She snuggled right up to Jesus, which some of you won't do. And she believed everything he said, which some of you won't do. He talked about hell, she believed it. He talked about heaven, she believed it. In my Father's house, many mansions? Yes, sir, Jesus. That's how you got to be if you want to be something for God. Now, I want you to think about her now. There is no telling where this child would be tonight if it were not for our church buses and going to get them. That's what I'm going to preach about tonight. I'm going to preach about the most mistreated group of people in America. And you know who that is? It's kids. I want to say, first of all, tonight, the Lord cares about kids. The Lord cares about kids. Religious figures may not, churches may not, preachers may not, but the Lord cares about every little boy and girl out there tonight crying themselves to sleep. The Lord cares about kids. John 3:16, for God so loved the what? The world. That includes every little boy, every little girl. The Bible said this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Every person in the world is a sinner. The Bible said his sin, he's a propitiation for our, not our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died and came to this world for every little boy and girl. The Lord said it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The doctrine of limited atonement is a wicked, demonic doctrine invented by the devil that said Jesus just died for a certain few. It is not his will that one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, in the Old Testament, he called Samuel. Somebody said, God can't call a child. He did Samuel. Samuel's laying in the bed one night, and the Lord said, Samuel. And Samuel thought it was Eli. And he run in there and he said, yes, sir, what can I do for you? And he said, I didn't say nothing. You better go back in there and lay down. I told my girls this story when they was little, and boy, I'd acted out. Remember that, Carrie? I told her that many times when she was about that high, and I was about that high, and I told her that me and her, we'd sit around, we'd talk, and Samuel went back and laid down, and the Lord said, Samuel. He jumped up and said, did you call me, sir? And the Lord said, Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back in there and lay down. And he went back and laid down. The Lord said, Samuel. And he come in that time. He said, did you call me? And Eli figured it out. He said, that was the Lord calling you. He said, the next time he does that, put that out of your mind because you're too little to think about stuff like that. He said, the next time he says that, say, Lord, here am I. Speak, Lord. For thy servant heareth. I'm telling you, the Lord cares about kids. The Lord said one time, if you or me offend one of these little ones that believe in him, you'd be better off if somebody took a millstone. That's something about that bigger. It could be that big. Could be that bigger. 4 inches thick, weighs up to 100 pounds, and tied around your neck, throw you in Lake James or Lake Hickory or somewhere. You would be better off if you then offend one of these little ones. Lady told me one time, she said, I just ain't coming no more on Sunday morning. And she's a pretty well-to-do lady, too. Had money and everything. And I said, why? And she said, those bus kids, they come in there and they step on my feet and they get in my way and everything. And I guess she thought I'd say, oh, I'm sorry, Wilton. I hate that. I mean, we'll miss you. But I'm going to tell you something. We are not going to quit bringing them kids to church and bring them to Jesus. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine us just sitting in here in church while there's thousands of kids out there and not going after people. What kind of people are we if we just let them die without God and not bring them to the house of God? Amen? I'm telling you, that kid came. Some churches only want the well-to-do, middle, 30-ish, 35, five soccer mom group with a nice van and three or four pretty little kids to build their so-called church with, and it's the only group that feels comfortable in that church. Let me tell you what a real church is. A real church is where there's a rich lady sitting on a second row with a diamond ring about that big and a bus kid sitting beside her wiping a booger on that ring. That's a real church. A real church is where a man that's got a $300 suit on that costs $59.95, I know where to get them, and will sit down beside some little old kid looking up at him like that, and brother stink like he ain't had a bath. And a real church is where there's a Mercedes sitting down in a parking lot and an old beat up truck right beside it. The only thing holding it together is bumper stickers. That's a real church. Y'all seen that bus out there, didn't you? Did you see that bus? Where's it at, Chad? Make sure you see that bus before you leave. Amen. All right. Now, the Lord cares about kids. Does Jesus care? Some churches are only for big shots. If you go to a church where only a certain class or income bracket of people go, there's something wrong with your church. You can tell the preacher I said that. I'm telling you, that ain't the way it's supposed to be. Now, you got to have some people with some sense, but you got to have all kinds. I've had it lopsided a few times. I'm saying the Lord cares about kids. Number two, when kids get saved, you ain't just saving a soul, you're saving a life. We got this idea that the only person that's got a good testimony is a man who went out and shot four or five people and spent 10 years in prison and been on drugs and gangs and everything else and then went to the bottom and come up and got saved. Everybody said, wow, what a testimony. I've done it too. Oh, what a testimony, what a testimony. What a testimony that guy's got. What a testimony that guy got. You want me to tell you the best testimony in a church? The absolute best testimony a person can have is to be born to good Christian parents and been a good family, been to church since the first week they was born, cut their teeth on the back of a pew, singing Amazing Grace, running around at home on Sunday afternoon, playing church with his sisters and preaching on a stump while his sisters sat like this and preaching to all of them while they're getting Sunday dinner ready at Grandma's house and all sit around there and get around the piano and sing and pray and go back to church Sunday night and waiting on the family dinner, get saved when they're about 7 or 8 years old and never touches alcohol, never touches cigarettes, never goes to a dirty movie, never gets involved in drugs, never takes a drop of liquor or beer or wine, stays clean, stays a virgin, gets married, raises a family, they do the same thing, and he dies and goes to heaven. That's testimony. That, my friend, is a testimony. Sadly, most of us don't have that. But thank God that's the best one a person can have. I've even heard people say, Randy, that's what I'm saying. Well, I ain't got much of a testimony. I've been in church all my life. Woo! Shout! That's the best testimony a person can have. When a kid gets saved, it's not just a soul, it's a life. It's a life. Have you ever noticed how God use his kids? You think God gave you your kids so you could raise them. He gives them to you so it makes you grow up. It's amazing how they can teach you doctrine. Kids can, they know more doctrine by accident. It's intuitive or something. I don't know how they get it. They can figure out stuff. Said a little boy one time, he was in Sunday school, and one of his buddies looked at him. He said, boy, I bet Noah did a lot of fishing when he's on that boat. And his buddy said, no, he didn't. He didn't have but two worms. That's some good theology, man. You wouldn't have thought of that, would you? The way their mind works. I always get a kick out of the way they sing, the way they sing song. Marty, I had up here. We was up here singing. I think Jason was up here singing. We was at camp or somewhere. We sang Victory in Jesus every night there. And we was going home one night in church. She's in the back singing. And she was singing. She says, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He punched me to victory." And she kept saying, "He punched me to victory." I got to think about that. But you know what? That's right. He's punched me to victory a time or two. I don't like it when I have to get punched to victory, but I've been punched to victory. Amen? Ain't that a blessing? Dr. Bottle Sticker didn't figure that out. Amen? Amen? Dr. Doolittle never come up with that and wrote it in his book. That's out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. They can preach you a sermon. They'll straighten you. They can repeat everything you shouldn't have said, word for word. So you got to watch what you say around them. Ladies come over to the house. All the ladies were meeting this one woman's church from the church. They all got over to her house one night, and they all got together and sat down there and started talking. And the kid came in and said, "Mama, which one's that old Miss Hypocrite?" Yeah. Preacher come over one time, they had the evangelist and the preacher over to eat. And they set up a big dinner there that time. And they said had chicken and everything and all on the table. And she said, "And now we're going to pray." Little kid said, "Mom, where's the buzzard?" She said, "Honey, this is not buzzard. This is chicken." He said, "Where's the buzzard?" She said, "Darling, this is chicken." He said, "Well, you said we was going to have them old buzzards over here." Right in front of them guys. I always like them stories. I think everybody ought to teach a class of about a 4 or 5 year olds. That ought to be a requirement to be in the ministry or to do anything for God. You ought to do it. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. I got my 3 girls are here tonight. They're all in here somewhere. And over there, I think I see 2 of them. Where's the other one? Back here in the nursery. Well, one time that one of them, not the oldest or the youngest, the one back there in the back. Me was going somewhere, and I always tell people God loves. I always do that. It was gas station. I've done it for years. I give them a tract. I say Jesus loves you, and try to witness people. One time I was in a hurry. I was aggravated or something. We went through a drive-thru, me and her. She's about 6 or 7 years old. And I went around, and I got the thing, and I pulled out, and I was getting ready to pull out. And she said, "Well, ain't you going to tell him God loves him or something?" I said, "Yeah, shut up. I forgot about it. Yes, I'm going to tell him, you little brat." Don't you sort of feel bad when they sort of rebuke you and they catch you in your sins and they're really more right with God than you are, and then you act like, "Oh, I didn't forget it. I was wrong. I was backslidden. She corrected me." That's why little kids need to come to church and get saved. Amen. Lord have mercy, they'll preach you a sermon. There's these guys one time, they was talking, and a little boy come home to Sunday school, and he said, "Mama," he said, "the Lord sure is a good artist." He said, "Look at that sunset, and look at all them clouds, and them isn't that beautiful?" And his brother said, "Yeah, and the Lord did all that with his left hand." She said, "What?" "That's right, he done all that with his left hand, all them clouds." She said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, the teacher said God was sitting on his right hand." Whatever, I don't understand. That's too deep for me, brother. The kid come in one day and his grandpa died and had his funeral a few days, and they hadn't got all his stuff cleaned out, and he come through and had his glasses. Said, Mama, that papa can't see nothing in heaven. I found his glasses in there." And that's the way their mind works. This kid come in one time and said, I got a bunch of these stories. I'll just give you a couple of them right quick. That kid come in one time and said, "Teacher, my little dog got run over. He's out there in the road." She said, "Honey, your little dog is up in heaven with God." He said, "What does God want with a dead dog?" That's right. He was right. She was wrong. That dog didn't go to heaven. Dogs don't go to heaven. They go to dog hell. No, I'm just kidding. No, they don't go nowhere. No, he don't. Dogs cease to exist. I knew I'd stir it up right there. I knew. Dogs ain't got a soul, you nuts. Shut up, Jaden. I'm going to tell you something this evening. Ain't you glad you go to a church where the kids pay attention? Amen. Ain't sitting back there asleep. They're listening to every word I say. I like it. Let's get it on, brother. We'll have a ride in here if y'all want to. But you ain't going to sleep. Tell another dog story. This is blonde. So they was walking down the road, and one of them said, "Look at that dog with one eye." And the other one went. I like that kind of wisdom, brother. These two blondes are sitting out there one night, and they was looking up the sky. One of them said, "Which is further, the moon or Florida?" She said, "Duh, you can see the moon." They got wisdom that we ain't got. Amen. Kids come on. The teacher told them, she said, "Now I want y'all to draw these things in Sunday school class and illustrate Bible verse or whatever story with it." And the kid, he drew one of this. It was an airplane. And a man flying the airplane, a man and woman sitting in the back. She said, "Honey, I don't think I understand this." She said, "I don't understand this." She said, "It's in the Bible." She said, "What?" He said, That's Mary and Joseph and their flight out of Egypt. Oh, okay. Well, who's that guy? She said, "That's Pontius the Pilate." Now look, you laugh when everybody else laughs, and we won't know how dumb you are about the Bible. Just when we laugh, you laugh. My favorite one, I'm going to move on. My favorite one's a kid draws. They said, "We want you to draw songs we sing in church." And this kid turned this paper in like that. And it had this big old bear, big grizzly bear, big old black grizzly bear. And his eyes was crossed. He's just standing there crossing it like that. And right underneath it, he wrote the words, "Gladly." Gladly. Teacher looked at that. She said, "Honey, I'm sorry, but I have no idea." He said, "Teacher, we sing that song every Sunday." She said, "I don't know what this means. What is it? We sing it every Sunday. It's gladly, my cross-eyed bear." That's deep, brother. That's so deep. Listen, Arthur W. Pink couldn't have figured that out. Schofield could have never found that nugget. When kids get saved, it's not just a soul, it's a life. Number three, kids are under attack. This is the sad part tonight. My heart breaks for kids. How anybody could mistreat a kid? The lowest place in hell, brother, is reserved for people to be mean to a kid. A defenseless kid. They talk about consenting adults and all that, and that's sin, and all that's wicked, and that's full of hell. And all that. But somebody will take advantage of a kid who can't defend itself. These kids are stuck in these homes. They can't leave. They're at their mercy. I hate to even tell you what I'm fixing to tell you tonight. But in the Bible, right before everything blew up, you know when the Lord come first time? What was they doing? Killing babies. Herod made an order. Every baby under two and under had to die. What was they brought from out of Egypt? What was he doing? Pharaoh made the order. Every child under a certain age, kill them. We're doing the same thing tonight. People, you talk about awful. You talk about hard. You don't know what one of them trucks going down that interstate tonight's got in the back of it. They find them every day full of kids for sale. ninety percent of all runaways run away from a home where the father is not present in that home. 43% of all kids in America live in a home without their real daddy. Over half the kids in America don't live with their real mom or their real dad. You don't know what that does to a kid. People get selfish. People get full of the devil. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes people die. Sometimes there's a disease. I understand that. But you don't know. I've heard people say, well, I'm going to run off and leave my family. Them kids get over it. They never get over it. They never get over it. They never get over it. It scars them for life. The most dangerous place in the world for a kid to be in this generation is in their mother's womb. They're murdered before they get out of their mother's womb by abortion. Don't care what you think about it. I'm preaching tonight. That Bible said the babe leaped in her womb. It wasn't a piece of tissue. It wasn't a growth. You say, well, it's a woman's body. She has the right. I've heard that too. It makes me want to throw up. That ain't got nothing to do with abortion. Nothing to do with abortion. A woman said, well, it's my body and I have a right. You don't have a right to kill your kid. You can kill yourself if you want to. Amen. Let the kid be born, you die. Amen. You don't kill somebody. Listen, you don't have a right to take another person's life. I ain't got time to get into all of that. Our country is murdering 4,400 babies every day in this country. And if you think God's going to bless this nation the way we're doing, boys and girls, the way they're pushed back, brother, you're out of your mind. We better get on our knees and pray. God, have mercy on our country. This week, what's this, Saturday? Wednesday. Carrie sent me a little text on my phone and I looked it up. This week, Wednesday, 84 kids were rescued from sex trafficking. 120 traffickers, the people that drive the truck. You see trucks going down the road? Happens every day. They're going down this road right here. And these little boys and girls in the back of them things. And they're selling them. You talk about slavery? The world, there was more people enslaved today than there ever has been in history. With all our advancement and our technology and our great wisdom and all of that, the world's more wicked tonight than it's ever been. Listen, we can't scratch the surface. I can't even tell you the beginning of how ungodly this world is tonight. It's only the mercy of God that He ain't wiped the whole thing out. Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. They rescued 84 kids this week. This same group has rescued 6,500 since 2003. If they've rescued 6,500, think of the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. They're selling them to perverts. They have a pimp. You young people, look up here at me a minute. I know everybody said, man, I'm pimping, man, I'm pimping. You ought to be ashamed. Don't you ever even use that word. Pimp is the most low-down, sorry individual that a person can be. If you'd sell a kid like it's a dog or an animal to be abused, you're a sorry individual. That's what pimp means. Pimp means pitiful, ignorant, male perverts. That's what it means. They got one the other day in that group where a 3-month-old girl and her 5-year-old sister were being sold for sex for $600. That makes us want to throw up. 3 months old! 5 years old! Like that little girl that I said, hey, I've been to Hickory on bus route. We go every Saturday. We go into the apartments. We go into the trailer parks. And I've seen them cars come down in them apartment complex, jacked up on the back, tinted glasses. Boom, you hear rap music. The window goes down. The drug deals come back. And I thought, the devil's sending his evangelist in here to get these kids. And the Lord's sending His people in here to get these kids. We're in a race. Forget worrying about the preachers. Forget that old sister that won't come to church regular. And go get your car full of kids and bring them to church next Sunday and preach to them. Amen. Buy you a bus. You can buy a bus for $1,000. If you'll break, we'll help you get the money to do it. Lord, have mercy, people. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of them. Hollywood is a cesspool of iniquity. You talk about pedophilia, hot child perverts. Hollywood is eat up with it. There's some of them are starting to come out now. That Corey Feldman or what's his name used to be on that. They're all coming out and saying they're nothing but a bunch of perverts. They said they take these little kids in there and then you have to do favors and to get your kid advanced and it's all a money sexual mess. And I'm telling you tonight, brother, God looks down. There's an abuse reported every 10 seconds. There's 7 million a year and most of them are never reported. There's a rape victim every 2 minutes. 5 kids die every day in this country because of abuse. 1 in 3 girls are sexually abused. That means there's 15 in here tonight. The kids that come on our bus, 1 in 5 boys. It's close to home, but I could tell you some stories. Just kids that come here to church every Sunday. Some of the Pharisees look at them like, look how they dress. They should know how to dress. Listen, they go home, and mama's got her boyfriend there, and daddy's got his girlfriend there. All 4 of them. And filth on the TV. It might be a good idea if we looked at it a little bit different and had a heart for them little boys and girls. God help us. God help us. These kids don't have a chance. Girl come to my office one time up in Marion years ago. We had a youth rally, and a girl come and she said, Brother Hank, can I talk to you? She's about 14. I said, yes, ma'am. Can we sit down in my office? She sat over there, and she said, I got to tell you something. I said, what? She said, my uncle lives with us. And she said, every night, him and daddy play cards. And they sit up and play cards, and they get drunk. Mama works third shift. She said, Daddy gets drunk, and in the night, my uncle comes in my room. You see, 90% of kids that are abused know the person who abuses them. And 70% of the time, it's a relative. 7 out of 10. It's not a stranger. It gets sicker and sicker. Some of you sitting there, why are you talking about? So that maybe we might come out of our comfort zone a little bit. Yeah. I shouldn't have to stand up here and beg somebody to drive a bus, people. I have been blessed. Yeah, we sure have. What about them? I could be one of my kids out there. I could be one of my grandkids sitting over there tonight. I tell you what, buddy, call somebody doing my grandkids. I mean, you know, you'd be probably visiting me in prison. I don't know. God helps. What in the world's wrong with people? I'll say finally tonight, and I'm through. Kids are up for grabs. Kids are up for grabs. I'm not even talking about drugs. Lord, they got them on drugs now. When they're that high, and there ain't even nothing wrong with them. When we went to camp, they said, now I got to take these pills. I said, what's wrong with you? Oh, well, I have ADHD. I got that. I've had that all my life. I didn't know that's a disease. Every man's got that. Is that right, ladies? We just hear what we want to. They said, I got ADHD. That's a nice tie. See, like that. I'm Les Dixit, too. Y'all a little slow in here tonight. I'm worried about you. But listen, people, that ain't a disease. I told that kid, I said, you know what's wrong? You're just a brat. You need a good whipping once in a while. It's child abuse not to spank a little kid when they need to spank it. You're an unfit parent. I know some of you are going to be mad at that, but I'm preaching the Bible. What do you think a preacher ought to preach? I was at Walmart one day, and this little kid, he was taking a fit. His mama's saying, come on. He goes, ah! And she's saying, come on, baby. Come on, baby. Ah! And I was sitting there going, oh, boy. Because that kid needs spanking. She said, I've never had to spank one of my kids. And I couldn't help it. It started coming up like, yeah, I'm a preacher everywhere I go. I'm a preacher when we go over and play ball at the gym. I'm a preacher. It comes out. I said, lady, there ain't never been but one kid on this earth that didn't need a spanking. And it wasn't yours.
Yeah.
Or mine.
Right.
Who was it? It was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
He might have got one just to fulfill all righteousness. I don't know. They might. But I'm telling you, buddy, that kid needed, it's bad for him. If you get them on drugs when they're little, what do they go? They think a pill, every answer to every pill, every problem you got's in a pill. And I'm not saying medicine's all bad. Sometimes there's a good reason for medicine. But everybody in the country shouldn't be on drugs, people. And you ain't even hurting. Hello? My name is drugs. I destroy homes. I tear families apart. I take your children, and that's just the start. I'm more costly than diamonds, more costly than gold. The sorrow I bring is a sight to behold. Listen to me, kids. If you need me, remember, I'm easily found. I live all around you in all your schools and town. I live with the rich. I live with the poor. I live down the street and maybe next door. My power is awesome. Try me, you'll see. But if you do, you'll never break free. Just try me once. I might let you go. Try me twice. I'll own your soul. When I possess you, you'll steal and lie. You'll do whatever you got to do just to get high. The crimes you'll commit for my narcotic charm won't be worth the pleasure you feel in your arm. You'll lie to your mother. You'll steal from your daddy. When you see their tears, you should feel sad. But you'll forget your morals and how you were raised. I'll be your conscience. I'll teach you my ways. I take kids from the parents and parents from the kids. I turn people from God and separate friends. I'll take everything from you, your looks and your pride. I will always be with you right by your side. You'll give up everything, your family, your home, your friends, your money. Then you'll be alone. If you try me once, this is no gain. If I get the chance, I'll drive you insane. I'll ravish your body. I'll control your mind. I'll own you completely. Your soul will be mine. The nightmares I'll give you while lying in bed, the voices you'll hear inside of your head, the sweats, the shakes, the visions, all of that stuff you'll see. I want you to know these are all gifts from me. But then it's too late. You'll know in your heart that you are mine and we'll never part. You'll regret that you tried me. You always do. But you came to me, not I to you. You knew this would happen. Many times you were told, but you challenged my power and chose to be bold. You could have said no and just walked away. If you could live that day over now, what would you say? I'll be your master. You'll be my slave. I'll even go with you when you go to your grave. Now that you've met me, what'll you do? Will you try me or not? It's up to you. I bring you more misery than words can tell. Come take my hand. Let me lead you to hell. Are you kids here tonight? Make up your mind. You're never going to put nothing in your body that ain't supposed to be in it. Don't drink nothing. Don't smoke nothing. Don't snort nothing. Don't swallow nothing. Nothing! Somebody offers you a pill, turn around and walk away from them. You say, they'll call me a chicken. Let them call you whatever you want to. Listen, I went to school with boys tonight that are in an institution and don't even know their name. I went to boys school with guys that are dead. I hope they got saved and went to heaven. I thank God that I got around old church and old-fashioned religion, and it kept me out of that stuff. Kids are up for grabs. This is the sad part of the message. Churches are rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, and do absolutely nothing about this problem that I'm talking about. It ain't like it was even 15 years ago. It's a whole new generation. Imagine we're all on a boat and we're all sitting there laughing and cutting up and eating, and there's people out there screaming, going down drowning. That's the way church is today. I preached down in Florida here a while back, and the preacher took me. We was going to have tent revival, and he wanted me to preach to the kids on rock music on Friday night. We had a big night planned. He said, preacher, right down the road here there's a trailer park. Right down the road there there's a trailer park. And he said, we punched it in the internet, and he said, there's 16 registered sex offenders in them two trailer parks. 16 that they know about, them being caught. It's way worse than what you're thinking right now. Yeah. might be in your home. Might be in your kid. This is a commercial, but you better watch who you let your kids go home with or who they spend the night with. You're overreact. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. Mine used to have a friend that said, we have a friend over. Yep, you can have a friend over. You ain't going over there. Not unless we know them really good. This is an Amber Alert. You know what Amber Alert is? It's a term the world adopted to rescue kids that are lost. And that means an American mission broadcast missing kids, broadcast emergency response, Amber. And it means if a kid gets lost, they'll flash them lights. It goes all over the internet, and there's people that'll go out. There's people in the community that'll go out into a field, and they'll hold hands and walk across that grassy field hunting that missing child. They'll drain a pond. They'll go out in the city. They'll have people looking for whatever. That's the intensity that a church ought to have for hunting little boys and girls that are not saved. I couldn't even tell you some things. Our bus, we had 150 of them last Sunday. Had a big day, had 150 on our buses. I couldn't tell you the things that they tell our bus workers. And they talk about stuff that me and you would blush like it's nothing. And they're 8, 10, 11, 12 years old. You know what we're like? We're like a fire department. I'm talking Shining Light Baptist Church. You visitors in here, same goes for you. If you go to a church that don't help kids, you ought to get your car full of them, buy you a van. Go to a trailer park Saturday. If your church don't want them, you're going to the wrong kind of church.
Amen.
Tell them I said that's the wrong kind of church. You know what I heard a preacher say, Rick, one day? He said, well, we stopped the bus ministry. We didn't want them in here corrupting our good kids. Whatever. Please, please, give me a break. I've seen church kids corrupt bus kids. Same devil that's out there as everywhere else in the church. You're sorry and lazy and backslid and don't care nothing about nobody but your big fat belly. That wasn't in the message. The Lord must have wanted you to hear that. I ain't taking it back neither. I'm telling you, our God's our belly. All we want to do is eat in fellowship, eat in fellowship, eat in fellowship. And there's nothing wrong with that. We had a big day of visitation last Saturday. I could not believe the people in our church that wouldn't even go. You loafer. You can take a trip anytime you want to. You can go anywhere. You go to Dollywood 15 times a year. You go on 500 picnics, family reunions. I'm not saying that's wrong. But what about when your pastor begs you to go do something for God and you're nowhere to be? FBI couldn't find you folks. Amen. I know that's hard preaching, but what in the name of God are we supposed to do? Let the world go to hell. Listen, y'all know me. I'll never preach with one guy told me one time, he said, Danny, he said, if you hadn't had so much problems, you'd be up there with Jack. I don't want to be up there with Jack Isles. I can't stand to be around a big shot bunch of preachers like that. I'm happy with a bunch of little snotty-nosed youngins coming in saying, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in his sight. Amen. We got bus kids here tonight. Anyway, how many of y'all come on bus? Stand up. Y'all kids? Tyrone, stand up right there. See Tyrone? He's a bus kid. And he's my buddy too, amen? Tyrone comes every Sunday on the bus. You say, I wouldn't let him not church. You're a hypocrite, backslid, full of the devil. That's what you are. I can beat him one-on-one too, right out here in the parking lot. Now he's pretty good. Where, anybody else in here, come on a bus, stand up. Jessica, y'all stand up with you. Roger, see them mean ones back here in the back? Look at that crowd back there. In case anybody wants to run their mouth about me, they got my back. Ain't that right, y'all? You fight for me, right, Julian? I'm fighting for y'all. I'm trying to get these old lazy rich people to help y'all. Amen. I'm trying to get you lazy. People that's got money in the bank, you can afford a fishing pole, you can afford a boat, you can afford that, yeah. But when it comes to doing something for you, you just ain't got no money. And you just don't have time. In the summer, it's your garden. In the winter, it's too cold. Preacher, there's some things in my life I need to get right. Join the blessed crowd. There's a lot we all need to get right. While you're waiting to get right, why don't you go get somebody and bring them to church? I heard Phil Kidd some time ago, 2 or 3 years ago, tell his story. I ain't never forgot it. It tore me up. He said, little girl one time went missing, five years old. I can't imagine how that would feel. Have you mamas ever, just for a split second in Walmart or something, you know that feeling, that fear that just shoots through you? Oh, for a second there, and when you finally, don't you ever do that? You grab them, hold on to them real tight, about to cut the blood circulation off it, darling. You don't let go of them. You know that feeling? What if you couldn't find them that night and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day? And you go to sleep wondering if they're alive or dead or what they're being used for. 5 years old. They're messing with 5-year-olds, y'all, right now in this county. That little girl disappeared. 2 or 3 weeks went by. They had everybody in the country hunting them, law, FBI, everything. And finally, one day a package came in the mail. And a note was on that package that said, we have your girl. And the mama went, and she tore it open, read the letter, said, we have her. We demand so much money to be deposited in such and such a place by a certain such a date. And it had her little finger wrapped up in there. Said, there's your first finger. We're going to get the rest of them. And that mom and dad went to bed that night thinking of their daughter with one of her fingers chopped off. 2 or 3 weeks later, another package comes in the mail. If you don't meet our demands, we're going to send her back piece by piece. Listen, people. Some of you people, you think, oh, the world's wonderful. I want to travel. I want to go to Las Vegas. I want to go. Did you know the filthiest place in the world every winter in America is the Super Bowl? Now, I'm not saying anything's wrong with football, the game, but there's more sex trafficking and kids sold at the Super Bowl than any other event in America in the whole year. Look it up. You like to play all the time on the Internet. Look up something that helps you once in a while.
Amen.
Look up sex trafficking in 2017, how many they busted this year? They take kids, advertise them. Here you are, what you want, 10-year-old, 11-year-old? These perverts take them in their motel room, keep them for the weekend. And it's not just a few. We're talking tens of thousands. You can take your car. If you have to work every Saturday, you can give some money. If you have to work 7 days a week and ain't got no money and can't drive, you can pray and fast. Hey, a person in here tonight can't do something. I understand if your preacher don't want it, you're in bad shape. And he is too. He's in bad shape. You say, well, they'll criticize you. Wow. Ain't going to hurt my feelings. I'm going to show you something tonight as we close. And I'm going to... In just a minute, I'm going to show you something that lasts 5 minutes. You're going to see some of our kids and a song that touches my heart. Every person in here. We got a bus. We had a bus family, driver and wife moved away. We got one bus down right now, the Hickory bus, and it breaks my heart every week. Every week it breaks my heart that bus is down. I told her, I said, we'll get up early enough to do it ourselves if we have to. I just can't imagine a church just sitting in here enjoying blessings when there's kids out there serving. I don't understand how we can think like that. Who do we think we are? But I'm going to show you something tonight, and I hope it'll be a help to you. Ron, if you will, get those dim not all the way off yet. And I'm going to show you this, and I want you to hear a little song from a lady down here in Winston-Salem wrote. And it said, "Won't you please come and get me, Mr. Busman?" He said, "Well, I ain't got a bus. You got a car?" One lady said, "Preacher, my car is too nice to put those little nasty kids in." Okay, let's pray the Lord will take your nice car away and give you an old sorry car that ain't too good for a sinner to get in. I love y'all tonight. I ain't mad at you. I got a burden that's killing me. I'm so burdened for this. It's been on my heart for weeks. Okay, get these spotlights over my head here and the choir lights too, and we'll go ahead and start. Let's go ahead and get all of them now. Go ahead, Andy. Listen to these words.
A sad little boy sits alone in his room.
These are all kids that come to our church.
For the sound of a horn. It's Sunday again. Daddy's drunk on the floor. He thinks, "Won't someone please show me they?" Someone to love me for a while. You seemed so friendly yesterday. My mama smiled as you went away. And who's this Jesus you said would change my life? Now as that old church bus travels on down,
help us, Lord. Yes.
The horn is blowing at the last stop. A little boy comes running out. Tears turn to a smile as he climbs inside. I'm so glad you came to get me, Mr. Busman.
Amen.
You see, I needed someone to love me.
Yes. Listen now.
Later on, up in heaven, Mr. Busman strolls along, just talking with Abraham and John.
Yes.
A young man comes running, and he falls to his knees with rejoicing.
Yes.
They all hear him cry.
Yes. Yes.
I'm so glad you came to get me, Mr. Busman. You told me of the Blessed One who died for me. I'm glad that I was born again.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for telling Dad of his sin. And here he is. He'd like to thank you some.
Amen. Listen now.
Little boy sits alone.
Oh, Lord.
In his room, just waiting.
Oh, Lord. Bus kids.
It's Sunday again. Daddy's drunk on the floor. He thinks, "Won't someone please show me they
care?" Amen. Yeah.
Won't you please come and get me,
ought to care.
My mama smiled as you went away. And who's this Jesus you said would change my life?
That's it.
Now as that old church bus travels on down.
Yeah. What I'm going to do tonight, we're going to take just about 5 minutes. I'll let that play through again. And I'm going to ask you, what do you do? What will you do? Nothing. What do you believe about following your pastor? What do you believe about that? You ought to be glad I put the pressure on you. You'll be glad one day when you stand before God. Sure will. So we don't have a bus ministry at our church. I understand that. Get you a car. Go to trailer park. Start you a Bible study on Saturday. You can just meet with them on Saturday. Come on, let's get in this altar and pray tonight. Give me just a little bit of light overhead here. Let's get in this altar tonight. Every man, woman, boy, girl. And say, you know what? I can give out some tracts. I can at least go once in a while. I can drive a bus. For heaven's sake, once in a while, ain't gonna kill you. You say, well, my witness is singing, preacher. You're full of baloney. And you say, well, my witness is I give money to buy pizza. You're full of baloney. You say, my witness is teaching Sunday school. You're backslid, buddy. We're supposed to take it out of these walls, every one of us, me included, and be a witness for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Let's obey God here tonight. Amen. Amen. I'm talking mamas. I'm talking daddy. I'm talking teenagers. I'm talking kids. Teenagers are some of the best bus workers in the world. You say, well, I don't want to give up my fun on Saturday. What are you going to say when we get to heaven? And the Lord said, good and well done, thou good and faithful servant. It'll be worth it all then, brother. Amen. They just need somebody to love them for a while. Amen. Yes.
I'd like to know him somehow.
Yes, let's pray tonight, y'all. Pray, God, give me a burden. God, give me a burden. God, give me a burden. God, help me to care. Help me to care about their mamas and the daddies. Mamas on drugs. Daddies in jail. Kids are watching all kind of filth on the TV all night long. We go to houses every Saturday where they're in the bed at 12 and 1 o'clock. They stayed up all night watching movies. Ungodly, filthy, scary, wicked, filthy movies all night long. And they're out there tonight. They're right by your church. They're right by this church. They're right by every church. God help us. Oh, glad you came. came to get me, Mr. Busman. Amen. Amen.
You told me of
Hallelujah.
The blessed one
Amen.
Who died for me.
Amen. Amen.
I'm glad that I was born again.
Say, we can't afford it, preacher.
Dad,
no, can't afford
sin.
Not to.
And here
you go after sinners. The Lord will take care of them bills.
Thank you, son.
Guarantee it. Guarantee it. Guarantee it.
I'm so glad you came to get me, Mr. Busman.
Just a little bit of light, Ron. So I'm still praying tonight, doing business with God. Hope we can leave here tonight with a burden for sinners. Amen. Tell you one thing, if all them kids was here, like, if they heard this message tonight, they'd say, Amen, Brother Danny, preach it. Help us. Somebody come help us. We're saved. We're going to heaven. I mean, ain't nothing the devil or nobody can do about it. We're going to heaven. So can't we give up a little time, money to help somebody else go? All right, go ahead and give us the lights. Okay, all right. If you're mad at me tonight, I'm sorry. I love you. I didn't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but I'll give you what's on my heart. Some of y'all need to get in it, head over heels. You say, well, we'll buy more. Yeah, we'll buy another. We'll buy another next week. We'll get somebody to work it and drive it. Have you been? Y'all come go with me Saturday. Let me show you some places. Come go with me Saturday. I know, right up here, exit 103, there's a guy living in a tent. A year and a half in a tent. Snow, heat. I talked to him. I've talked to him twice. In a tent. His windows busted out in the trailer. Didn't have no stove. All they had was a little George Foreman plate to cook SpaghettiOs or something on. Right up the road here. And while we drive our nice air-conditioned cars and sit in here in our beautiful church, the Lord blessed us with, it wouldn't hurt us a bit to care about somebody else. The big shot churches ain't never going to have nothing to do with us. They wouldn't spit on me if I was on fire. Y'all know that. But I tell you what, them kids don't care. And the Lord don't care. He wants us to reach them. Amen. All right, I'm done. Still early tonight. We're going to have our bookstore open. You'll be back there, Caitlin. They've got some neat stuff in the bookstore. King James only.